I'm Sarah Lee, and joining me is my co-host,
Juliana.
And welcome back to Murder Psyche Podcast, a podcast where we dive into old and new cases and try and figure out why the killers did it. We are here for you every week with a new case, and if you would like to recommend any cases, you can check out our Instagram or Twitter, both at Murder Psyche Pod. We also have a YouTube channel called Murder and Psyche Podcast. Thank you, Juliana.
You're welcome.
If you would like to watch us, this true crime case was recommended by our friend Anna. So thank you, Anna. Viewer discretion is advised. Now let's get into the episode. In 2008, two retired police officers, Kevin Gannon and Anthony Durrett, I think that's how you say it.
Is it Duarte?
Duarte?
I don't know.
We're going to go with Duarte.
Duarte is fun to say. So
yes. Yeah. Presented a theory about drowning cases that took place from 1997 to as recent as 2017. Simply, the theory is approximately 40 cases from 11 different states in the Midwest are all connected. Gannon and Durrett believe that there is a serial killer or a smiley face gang on the loose, who is targeting white college-aged males who are athletic, good-looking, and academically successful. The victims are typically seen leaving bars or parties drunk and alone. The only thing that tied everything together was graffiti smiley faces were found near the victims when they were dead, when they were found.
Dead, found.
Dead.
Same thing. Same
both.
Thing.
They were found dead.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. We laugh sometimes and it's not because we think this is funny. I would just like to put that out there. There's
we don't think death or killing is funny. I think we just make each other laugh. So
we make each other laugh and it's sort of like a nervous, uncomfortable laughter.
Yeah. And also like whenever we like misspeak, we laugh.
Yeah.
Because we know we misspoke or we said something wrong.
This is in no mean to laugh at people's deaths because that would be so fucked up. Anyways, back to the story. When Gannon and Durrett presented the theory, they were faced with backlash. Many found the theory insane and basically called the two retired officers attention-starved idiots. Many pointed out that not only did the smiley faces look different, but also how can you tell the smiley faces weren't there before the victim's death? When I was talking about this with my lovely mother, Celine, she said that maybe the killers or killer possibly changed the style of each smiley face to throw off the police. And the smiley face could have been a mark of where to place the bodies. Mm. So if like they were there before, they're like, buddy, remember to put it there.
I also read something interesting on the internet. They said it could also be like gang initiation. So that's why they're all different.
Oh.
Yeah. So like if you're trying to join this gang or whatever, you draw a smiley face. And that's gang. Why they're all different, because it's a different person.
Possibly.
However,
Gannon defended himself, saying that even if the theory was a bit outlandish, he wanted to bring awareness to cases that might have been wrongfully closed. Despite the negative attention, there are people in support of the theory. In the article, The Smiley Face Killer Theory That Connects 40 College Students' Death by Jim Goad, it states, quote, according to forensic pathologist Dr. Siren Wecht,
Cyril? I don't know how the last name goes.
I'm dyslexic.
I'm not, so I have no excuse.
The statistics are so stacked against this number of young men, Caucasian males, found in bodies of water in that cluster of states within that period of time, that it is almost mathematically impossible for these incidents to be unrelated, end quote. The theory was further backed by Dr. Lee Gilbertson, a criminal justice professor and gang expert at St. Cloud State University. To this day, all but two of the smiley face murders have been classified as accidental drowning, whereas the other two are homicide. The first victim to be connected to this theory is Patrick Neal, a 21-year-old college student. Gannon actually worked on this case and vowed to Patrick's parents that he would find the killer or killers who did this to Patrick. In February of 1997, Patrick was last seen drinking with friends at the Dapper Dog bar at Manhattan. Patrick appeared to be really drunk, so he left early. He planned to take the subway back to his college campus. However, he was seen throwing up and stumbling around the streets, heading towards the East River, followed by a couple in their car. Many believed that the couple might have been concerned, but they never seemed to come forward once Patrick's body was discovered. Patrick was actually found 2 months later, 12 miles away at Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. His body was facing upwards, which is uncommon with a lot of drownings. Patrick also had ligature marks around his neck and no signs of water decomposition. Typically, in drownings, the body bloats and the skin spillage appears. For those who don't know what skin spillage is, it's when the top superficial layers of your skin appear to be spilling off, similar to how a blister looks once the pus is drained. Sorry for the graphic description. You can Google it if you would like, but I wouldn't recommend it. It's not a pretty photo.
Oh no.
Anyways, another thing that didn't add up was the lividity in his body. If his body was found on his back, then all the blood would have settled to his back, but it didn't. The medical examiner also found that Patrick's blood alcohol level was a 0.6, which is consistent with 6 drinks. Now, Patrick being a big guy, 6 foot tall and 195 pounds, it's sort of unlikely that he'd be so drunk that he'd be throwing up. And in theory, it would take me, a 5 foot four, 135 pound girl, about 6 drinks to start throwing up. So how would Patrick be that drunk with only 6 drinks in his system? Unless there was something else in his system that could have weakened him. Despite all the signs of foul play, the medical examiner called the death undetermined, and the police closed the case as an accidental drowning. Which is, how do you accidentally drown with ligature marks around your neck?
Fair.
Another victim connected to this theory is 21-year-old Chris Jenkins. On Halloween night of 2002, Chris was out with friends at the Lone Tree Bar and Grill in Minneapolis. Chris ended up being kicked out for being too intoxicated. This was the last time he's seen alive. 4 months later, Chris's body was found in the Mississippi River, still wearing his Native American costume, and facing upwards with his hands crossed over his chest. You can't really drown like that.
Maybe he was just trying to float. He sank. No, sorry, that was really bad.
He's not in swim class.
Fair point.
My bad. The medical examiner found traces of alcohol in Chris's system. The medical examiner determined the death as a drowning, but left the cause of death as undetermined. The police ruled the death as a suicide and closed the case. Chris's parents refused to listen to this verdict, so they hired a private investigator. The private investigator noted that foul play had to be involved with Chris's death. 4 years later, the police held a conference stating that they were reopening the case and said they assumed that Chris committed suicide because a possible witness said they might have seen him jump for a bridge, and a bridge was nearby.
We thought he committed suicide.
So well, also, like, he's very intoxicated. So, like, no, I'm not saying intoxication makes you suicidal, but he could have said it as a joke. Like,
Well,
was his friend drunk?
He was alone, so they said someone from far away just saw him jump off. They might have seen him jump off a bridge.
Circumstantial, my ass. No, not my ass. No, that is circumstantial.
It is.
That's very circumstantial. Anyway.
He's also in his Halloween costume from 4 months ago. Who drowns in their Halloween costume and is found 4 months later fine?
I don't know. And these type of people all fit the MO that's like, it's a young white male. And they tend to be like socially, they're popular, they're outgoing, they have a pretty high social status. Like,
yeah.
They're not doing bad. Though we can't speak exactly for each individual's mental state. They're pretty much vibing in college.
Mm-hmm.
So something to keep in mind.
Another possible victim of the smiley face killer or killers is 24-year-old William Huxley. On October 8th, 2009, William attended a Boston Bruins game with 2 friends. Midway through the game, William wanted to go home because he was feeling tired, so he phoned his fiancée, Claire, to come pick him up. Once she arrived at the stadium the game was being held at, she phoned William, asking him where he was. He answered the call and said that he didn't know his exact location, but a stranger in the background told him that he was at 99 Nashwood Street. Claire heard this and knew all she needed to do was turn the corner. So So William told her that his phone was about to die. He'd be waiting for her right there and hung up. Once she reached 99 Nashwood Street, William was nowhere to be seen. She attempted to phone him again, but to no avail. Claire circled around for an hour but couldn't find William. Claire grew concerned and told police along with family and friends about William's disappearance. 6 days later, William's body was found in the Charles River. William suffered blunt force trauma to the head, an eye socket, and behind his left leg. In his system, alcohol, along with GHB, a date rape drug, was found. Now, the human body naturally produces GHB, but similar to melatonin, you can take more of it in pill form. Naturally, the body produces about 10 micrograms per milliliter. William had 18 micrograms in his system. Also, close to where William's body was discovered, police found a smiley face. Police also found William's phone at 99 Nashwood Street, but it was completely destroyed. Originally, police thought the phone was ran over, but digital forensics analyst Derek Ellington contested this. Ellington stated that a ran-over phone typically looks squished, but William's phone appeared to be smashed repeatedly against concrete, then ran over. William's death was ruled as an undetermined drowning. Police determined the case as an accidental drowning with no signs of foul play and closed the case.
I mean, it's frustrating when there's evidence of something else.
Fuck cops.
Sarah has very strong opinions about this.
And this is coming from a criminal justice major.
Exactly.
The most recent victim that is possibly connected to this theory is 23-year-old Dakota James. On January 25th, 2017, Dakota went out for some drinks with friends in Pennsylvania. Around 11:30 p.m., he left his friends to go home, but as we all know, he never made it home. Allegedly, Dakota was kicked out of the bar for being too intoxicated. The last sighting of him is on surveillance. On the footage, he's seen walking down downtown before disappearing into a dark alleyway, but he didn't seem to be that drunk. The next morning, Dakota didn't show up for work, so his boss phoned his family to see where he was, and his family said they hadn't seen him. The family attempted to make a missing persons report, but police told them they had to wait 72 hours. So Dakota's parents hired a private investigator, and they immediately started searching for Dakota across the city. 40 days later, Dakota's body was found in the Ohio River, 10 miles away from where he was last seen. Police theorized that Dakota needed to go pee, so he walked through the alleyway and reached the bridge on the other side. He walked down to the river and fell and ended up drowning. One thing that I found weird was if Dakota's body traveled 10 miles, then he would have had to go through a dam. However, his body was still in good condition, with barely any scratches. Dakota's body also had little decomposition both internally and externally, which is odd because the body tends to decompose quickly in water. Near Dakota's body, on an underpass, 11 smiley faces were found. The medical examiner ruled the death as an accidental drowning. The family requested the autopsy report, which they did receive with photos. Gannon said there appeared to be ligature marks around his neck, but they weren't mentioned in the autopsy report. The family attempted to bring this up, but the district attorney said it was just dried blood from Dakota's mouth and neck, which doesn't make any sense, because if he's been in the water for 40 days, all that blood would have been washed away. Dakota's mother also stated that Dakota couldn't have drowned even when drunk because he was the swim team captain. The family held a press conference and said, quote, "Today we are here to say that our son Dakota did not get drunk, cross four lanes of a highway, a cement barrier, walk down approximately 30 steps to urinate, and then accidentally fall in the river," end quote. It was later discovered there wasn't even enough water in his lungs to be considered a drowning. Gannon also claimed that GHB was also found in Dakota's system. Despite all these signs of foul play, the police closed the case, and the medical examiner said they refused to change the cause of death, but is willing to review additional material.
It's interesting that they refused to change the cause of death.
That just makes it sound like there's a cover-up.
Well, I don't know, like, necessarily a cover-up, but it just seems, like, really outlandish to be like, no, I did not miss anything. and but still willing to see additional evidence. It's like, yeah, I would never change cause of death, but if you have any additional evidence, I'll look at it. It's like, what?
But he stole
if you get additional evidence that proves the, a change in cause and death, like, what?
Yeah, that's weird. Why would you?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's weird to say that, like, unless he's just talking about, like, it's, yeah, it's just weird because, like, even if new evidence was presented, it wouldn't also directly go to him because he's a medical examiner. He examines bodies.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Weird. Weird to me. Weird to me.
Weird.
Maybe I'm just not up to date on, like, lingo, though, because I don't know. Like, the lingo that, like, maybe they say that. When they really mean, yeah, I'm not gonna look at the body again. I don't know. Maybe that's code.
He's gone. Stop it.
I'm not changing it. Sorry.
Now, these are just four cases out of the many that have been connected to this theory. In all these cases, the men appear to be drunker than they actually are. Many of the cases include these men being drugged with the GHB. These men also disappear for some time and their body is found days or even months later. And in all these cases, police seem too quick to close the case as an accidental drowning, even though there are clear signs of foul play. There was a docuseries made by Oxygen which covers six victims of the Smiley Face Killer, or killers, if you would like to check that out.
Okay, well, I had a hoot with this one because I found the source that combated, like, their theory or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the homicide unit or whatever made a descriptive, like, list on why they were like, yeah, this is why we're not investigating it. And it was interesting to see both sides, despite, like, evidence, because they have, like, a private investigator here. They have so many layers. And it's, like, reading the homicide center and then reading, it's very interesting because what they say. At least here, let me read, like, reasons they find, like, the theory is unreasonable or that they're not going to look into it. They say that the time that the bodies are found and the time that graffiti was placed do not match. So they say that some graffiti smiley faces look faded, which I found interesting that they are talking about specifically the smiley faces, because it's like, it's interesting to think that, like, okay, there's clearly foul play, but maybe it doesn't have anything to do with smiley faces. Maybe
yeah,
investigators are just looking at smiley faces because it's there, but, like, it is known that smiley faces are, like, very common graffiti just because they're easy.
Yeah,
so, like, maybe so, like, maybe, yeah, the graffiti doesn't line up and is not always, like, a part of the case, but, like, it's still interesting to note, like, foul play and stuff like that, which I find, I don't know. But they also said, yeah, it's an omnipresent smiley face. Smiley faces are easy to draw on graffiti and they're, like, one of the most common.
Yeah,
they said that there's no, like, pattern, so, like, what you were talking about, there's no ligature marks, like, or, like, the same pattern of, like,
oh, like the same handwriting.
Yeah, yeah, like same style of writing. Mm-hmm. Except ligature marks. That doesn't make any sense.
Ligature but marks is something ligature different mark.
But, like, the same style of, like, even paint was different, so they were saying, like, that's inconsistent with the smiley face theory, which just means, like, maybe it doesn't have to do with smiley faces, or to the gang theory, it could be more of a gang thing, so they're not even using, like, you know,
it's what I mean. Not the same person.
It's not the same person.
They might even be using, say, their non-dominant hand to do it, to throw off police.
To throw off police, or it's, like, an initiation thing. Like, there's a theory that it's an initiation gang thing. You have to kill someone or whatever.
And draw a smiley face.
And draw a smiley face. And that's why they're all different, or have different designs and have different paints, because it's not
the same.
It's not the same person. They also talked about how there was, like, I don't know how to say it, but it's it's a Native American word. It's like Siniwa, which is just a popular saying in Native American languages or whatever. And it means something to their culture, but it's, like, also found near the smiley faces. And so investigators are saying, yeah, this was a red herring because it's a popular saying in these states. So it doesn't make sense to look at smiley faces as well. So this is also just discounting that it is involved with smiley faces.
Like, the word is spray painted or, like, carved into something nearby?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they're saying this is also found near bodies as well, but it also has no involvement because it's just a saying.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that, like, if we can't track anything back to this, why are we tracking the smiley faces? This is also just, like, discounting the smiley face theory.
Yeah.
And they said that there was no criteria set for the distance between the smiley face and the bodies found. So they were saying, like, a lot of them are, like, 40 feet away from the body. So it's hard to even say, like...
Yeah, there's no discretion on how far away it has to be.
Yeah, so they're saying it's a long stretch to say, like, that it's involved when it's, like, 40 feet from the body. Although, I mean, obviously we don't have access to records, so I don't know which bodies, like, they were 40 feet away from, which they were close to, which might be important. considering that maybe it's not just, if the smiley face theory is still like standing and still relevant, and maybe it's not as many cases as the investigators thought or whatever.
Yeah.
There's also no pattern of victim trauma, because there is trauma on some of the victims, but there's mm-hmm. no pattern. So like typically it's like, if you have a serial killings, there's typically a pattern, especially when you're taking into account that a smiley face is at each crime, that would be consistent to a killer with a pattern or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's why also like there's this gang theory that, or multiple killers off the bat, that it's like, well, maybe it's not, because some do and some don't. So like that's also a theory. And then it's also good to note that like homicidal drownings are rare, and that's why coroners tend to not rule them, I guess, because I guess they're also hard to like prove in a court or explain to a group of people. But then that's all the reason to just like say it's undetermined.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know, because it's really hard to prove a homicidal drowning if there's no ligature marks or anything.
Yeah, but even in some cases, like there was ligature marks.
In one case, there was ligature marks, but they still just ruled it, I think, undetermined.
Yeah.
So like you have to have ligature marks to rule it undetermined. It's just weird to me. Mm-hmm. Which is true. They can't prove where the ligature marks came from. So I guess undetermined is correct, but it's still weird for the other ones, especially the ones that had the drug in them.
Yeah, the date rape drug, GHB. Yeah,
which interestingly enough, the Homicide Center did counter as well, but we'll get to that. They said it doesn't match a serial killer motive or motif, and they're like, serial killers usually kill for thrill or sexual thrill or anger, financial gain, or attention, and they mostly have a very defined area where they operate, so mostly interstate. They mostly have psychotic personality disorder, and they have some sort of evidence linking the deaths to be considered a serial killing, which is why Gannon and I think that there's three of them, Duarte, and then there's this one professor, I forget his name.
Yes, I said it earlier.
You did. They all think that the smiley faces are the link, because that's the only way it will be considered, according to the FBI, even a case to be looked at. So like they have contacted the FBI, and the FBI has been like, there's no linkage. And they're like, it's the smiley faces. And the FBI says there's not enough evidence because of the distance. There's just not enough evidence to say that it's the smiley faces. Mm-hmm. So like that's one of the reasons the FBI has been like, no, we're not going to look into it, because they have tried. The trio have really tried to get it looked at or reopened.
Yeah.
And there was involvement where like they interviewed inmates to see if it was some sort of gang thing. Investigators did. I believe it was Gannon who went, and he said he got some sort of testimony from an inmate, but the Homicide Center noted that testimonies from inmates are unreliable, just because some will confess just to get special treatment or like less sentencing.
Yeah, like get time taken off.
Yeah. And they said that the environment of the bodies are most consistent with accidental drownings, and that male victims are more likely to participate in irresponsible drinking, mm-hmm. especially when they're young, and risky behavior. And so they think that a lot of them could just be they call it auto assassinations, where it's like you participate in like really irresponsible behavior that like it's not a suicide, but like
it could lead,
it leads to accidental suicide, which is just auto assassination is what they call it. It's really bad.
Yeah.
And it says that they put some statistics, but they said that intoxicated men drowning in rivers is well known and documented, and police officers stop many intoxicated people from walking into rivers. And I was like,
I think the percentage I heard, it was like 80% of drownings are from male.
Yeah. So they're using that, like, they're using the statistics like, yeah, males are irresponsible drinkers and they're near rivers, so like they just fall. Doesn't explain ligature marks, but like
it also doesn't explain like trauma to the head, eye socket, and left leg.
Yeah. And I'm sure they could say, oh, that was from like falling or whatever, but they need to specify then
where
and find the places where it happened, because yeah. if there's blood present, then there should be blood present elsewhere. They also said that malicious drugging is not like supported by any evidence. So they made the argument that like, yeah, it's found in your system at different quantities for different people, even though it was found more prominent in some, we don't know what it was like for. We don't have any tests to support that it was lower before, so therefore they can't determine that it occurred unnaturally. Like that's basically what they said. And I was like, interesting. So they just discounted the drug theory. They were just
nothing could have happened.
They're like, it occurs naturally, and there's no evidence that it isn't that high normally for them. So yeah. Heart's what they said.
No.
We say no heart. Which is fair to point out, but it still doesn't explain a lot of the stuff that's unusual.
It also seems so dismissive of them.
It seems very dismissive, and they also made a final point that, like, this was like their last point, so it doesn't, like, not the best point, but they said that a lot of people in that climate, like, even in London, Canada, and in the United States, they're often more prone to, like, falling and having instances where they fall in rivers just because of the way the climate works and stuff, because they're more closer to rivers, they have better weather, so it's easier to walk outside at night. It's not too cold, not too hot. I don't know. It was weird, like, man. They were just bullshitting that one. They were like, I was reading it and I was like, why climate? I could easily do that here, but whatever.
You can fall into a river in any state.
I know.
In any country.
That was the reason they listed. Which, I mean, they do have some valid points here, but they do come across as dismissive, probably because I could see, like, where it could be frustrating. But I do find Gannon's and his whole trio's points interesting and very unusual. I'm going to just say some of the deaths are unusual. Maybe not all of them. Some of them could be accidents, and some of the parents could be living off the fact that it could have been purposeful and that their kid didn't just accidentally
drown
themselves while intoxicated, which, I mean, as every parent's hope, but, like, maybe, sounds so bad, but, like, maybe parents are holding on to the idea that it could be something else because it's easier than accepting that their kid did that to themselves.
Yeah, I can understand that. It was just my frustration with this entire theory was just, like, even if they aren't victims of this smiley face killer or this gang, it's still, like, the police are like, we're done.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's...
Especially in, like, Chris's case, they were like, we thought he committed suicide because a stranger told us so.
No, it's very frustrating. And I get that these are big cities and stuff, but, like, you have to admit there's a level of, like, unusualness to some of the cases.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of them, it's like, yeah, he might have just...
He might have just...
Yeah. Yeah, and it's sad, but it's like, yeah, that might have just happened. But others, I'm like, yo, why aren't you looking into this? This is kind of whack.
Someone's gone for 4 months and they look perfectly fine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they also argued, like, not in, like, one of their points, but they kind of argued that, like, Gannon had a connection to one of the first victims, like, that were on this case of the smiley face killers or whatever, and he, like, promised them that he would find their killers, and they think that, like, he might have emotional attachment because he promised a thing, so that's why he keeps pushing it. But they said because of his emotional attachment, maybe he can't see the truth or whatever. And so I was like, okay, fair, but, like, also unusual deaths, like,
like, victim looks beat up with ligature marks.
Yeah, exactly. And they also pointed out that the victims might just be pointing fingers because they feel like that's a better option, even, like, the detectives.
Yeah.
Because he had an emotional attachment, it leads to him just pointing fingers at a serial killer or killers, just because it's easier to do that than accept
that they might have accidentally drowned.
Yeah. Well, and also the detectives, when they bring up their case, they believe that jealousy is the motive for, like, the killings. If it is serial killer or killers related, jealousy is a motive because it's typically young white males who are very privileged or have very decent social standing. They're popular at school. So, like, as far as MO, that would be the MO.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe it's jealousy, but there's no evidence to, like, support that besides just thinking about it, I guess. Like,
I guess
common
so.
Sense of, like, what, why would you kill this sort of person?
if it was like one person doing all this, that person would be, like, I guess more low life, and like, their family might not have been as affluent, mm-hmm. so they go after people who are the opposite of them to be like, you're this powerful and I brought you down.
Yeah, and, like, that's the theory or whatever is what they're saying, because the big factor in this case is there's just lack of evidence to support anything, because it is unusual, but there's no evidence to support specifically what unusual thing is going on. And that's something the Homicide Center pointed out as well, is that they don't have a clear, which is stupid, but, like, they're like, yeah, maybe it is unusual, but you don't have a clear idea of what it is, so, like, no. And it's like, well, if it's unusual, you need to open it back up.
It's unusual, maybe you should do your job.
Sarah.
What?
But yeah, no, it's just unusual, and they very much so point out that lack of decomposition in some of the bodies is inconsistent with the time period that the victims go missing, which you were talking about. I think it was Dakota.
Yeah.
Who was, like, missing for 40 days, but his decomp only showed, like, he was decomposing for 3 days.
Yeah, he was barely even decomposing. Yeah,
barely decomposing, which doesn't make any sense because he was missing.
For 40 days.
And these are, like, affluent people in their community, like, very active, like, they don't just, like, go missing, and especially wouldn't show back up near, like, where, like, near the town where they were, because that doesn't make any sense, and they would have been seen.
But it's also, like, with Dakota, if he went from point A to point B in the middle somewhere was a dam. And we live right next to a dam. We know how powerful those things are and how they can really just destroy anything.
Well, and even that, he would have to walk like over the dam or through the dam somehow.
Or if he did drown
around, but then why would he go back? The thing is like, if he just had to urinate, it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Guys just urinate wherever. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because they have that ability to.
If you gotta go, you gotta go. Like, they can do it real quick, too. Not that I have insider information or anything, but like...
Juliana,
I'm joking. But like, I like my dad.
You're just like the guys.
No, my dad will just dead ass go outside and pee, and it doesn't take that long, and you don't notice unless you're like looking for it, and it's typically night.
Because like I live with two guys, my father and my brother, and they both just like, I'm like, what?
Well, like girls have to like situate themselves and make sure they don't pee on themselves. It's very frustrating. Guys can just do it wherever, and it can be super quick. And I get if you're intoxicated. It's hard to think, but like intoxicated, it's all the more reason that they wouldn't think about it. Mm-hmm. So like, huh? Like, it's just unusual.
It is. That was the thing that weirded me most about Chris's case was if he died at point A, like he had drowned, and he ended up at point B, wouldn't his body be damaged by the dam?
Or
like, by water?
And if he's extremely intoxicated, then shouldn't he be falling over and like not have that type of coordination to like know where he's going? And wouldn't he just pee wherever because he's to pee? Or if he got lost or whatever, why was he missing for 40 or not? But like a while.
Yeah.
If he got lost, I don't know. He was also a very good swimmer, which I know like intoxication can definitely impair, and he could have drowned from that. But it's like, I don't know. It's just unusual. Like 10 miles. 10 miles. I would not walk 10 miles when I'm drunk.
No.
Like I would get even get confused and sit somewhere. Like honestly, like it's too much coordination and too much mind thought. And I mean, I get if you're trying to get back, but that's 10 miles.
But also like, I'm assuming most of the cops that covered this case are men who have penises, so they would know how a man with a penis pees. Like if he's drunk, wouldn't he just pee in the dark? Why would he have to walk all the way down?
I don't know.
They pee in a bush. Guys do it all the time.
I know. This is why it's just unusual.
Like
it's just very unusual.
In all these
that
cases,
he would walk far to go pee, and then if he did find a spot and got lost, like he walked so far before he was just like, nah, I'm gonna sleep this one out. Like what? What? I'm too drunk for this. Like I'll just wait it out. Like it's just weird.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like this is why it's frustrating, because it's like there's no evidence and there's nothing circumstantial. And if he did walk near a dam, there's security cameras.
Yeah.
So like, why didn't they? I don't know if they even looked at those.
Did they?
I found no sources saying they did, but well, we don't get information on that.
Yeah, we don't get all the information, even if it's a closed case, mm-hmm. if it's still undetermined, which I don't think that should be a thing.
I mean, what also I found interesting is like they found land insects on some of the bodies, and they were like, if they were just chilling in the river,
why
would they have insects that do not live in the water on? Uh-huh. So it's like, is it consistent with like them dying elsewhere and then being put in the water? And I'm just like, bruh. And then the investigators are also like, GHB is a common date rape drug.
So why are
like, why are you just dismissing it so easily? And like they're like, yeah, we know it's found in bodies, but like why are you just dismissing it so easily?
You have at least an average of what it is, and if someone's above that average, why are you just being like, oh well, maybe it's this?
And plus it's been like several days in some of these cases, or even months in some of these cases, where like they haven't found the body.
Yeah,
so it's like, yeah, it's not gonna be in their system. Like what? it's been so long, why would it be?
Yeah. Or with some it's like, yeah, it's still present. They're like, well, maybe it wasn't that. No,
that's what I'm saying. It's just unusual. And yeah, they said well, basically their issue is like connecting the, because no one will look at it until they find a definite connection, because their theory is so serial killer based, they have to find and there's like no known connection.
Yeah, I can see, like, even though
it's really, even if the smiley face theory is true, it's really hard to prove, because graffiti's so well known in most of these cities. Mm-hmm. And they're different types of smiley faces, they're like faded, some not, and different paints. It'd be so hard to figure out. And they're not even the same color most of the times.
Yeah.
Like there's white, yellow, red. Red is probably the most common paint, to be honest, anyway, though.
Yeah.
And but it's also the most common smiley face. But it's just so hard to prove. And I think that's probably what's hindering their case here.
The difference in smiley faces.
The difference and in smiley faces. Faces
don't even show up in all of these cases.
Yeah. And the theory, like, that it's directly linked to smiley faces. I wonder if because they just want something, they're clinging to that just a little too closely.
One of the articles I read said that, like, they use smiley faces as a way to it seems so, like, outlandish, but it's such, like, it sticks in your head. Like, you'd be like, smiley faces, why smiley faces? And it just keeps you thinking about these cases.
Ooh, yeah, it might be because, like, the smiley face is so well known and easy to keep on your mind because it's such a widespread concept.
Yeah,
and, like, maybe that's why they're using it, but they can't. I feel like this is probably, I mean, even though maybe it's helping their publicity, it might be what's hindering their case as well, because they can't reliably, as much as I do want these cases to get looked at, like, they can't prove that they're linked by smiley faces. Mm-hmm. And there's no feasible way that I can think of at this moment to link them, especially if they don't have dating stamps or a consistent pattern or calligraphy pattern or anything.
Yeah,
maybe that's what's hindering if they're looking at that. But then again, it's hard for them to get more evidence because they're closed. They can't get investigators or anybody to look into stuff. Mm-hmm. Because the cases are closed and they're not allowed to be opened again without official.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, why'd they even close them in the first place? They're all undetermined.
I don't know. Anyway, that's me.
If you would like to check out anything we discussed, check out our Instagram and Twitter. Over there will be our sources, photos, and additional material. Also, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, we would appreciate if you left a nice review.
Apple Podcasts.
Have a lovely rest of your day. Stay safe, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.